because it's somebody was asking him to do something that seemed impossible. But yet God wanted to push him in faith. Practical faith is faith that keeps us going. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, again in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Heavenly Father, we had asked this morning that as we come together, Lord, we want to get something from God's word. We don't want to just hear from a person. We don't want to just hear a voice. We want God to speak to us. Lord, we would ask that you would empower the message. And as always, I ask that the Holy Spirit would do that which I cannot, and that is speak to hearts. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There was a young lady, and she went to her mother. And she was telling her about her life and how things were going pretty hard for her. And she continued to talk to her mother and saying, you know, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. And she was telling her she wanted to give up. She was tired of fighting and struggling. And as soon as one problem was solved, another one arose. Her mother took her to the kitchen. Just what you think, right? A good bit of food in the belly. Nope, that wasn't what she was going to do. She took her to the kitchen. She filled 3 pots with water. And she placed each one under a really hot fire. Soon the pots came to a boil. And in the first, she placed carrots. In the second, she placed eggs. And in the last pot, she placed coffee beans. She let them sit and boil without saying a word. And her daughter was just standing there watching. And in about 20 minutes, she turned off the burners. She fished the carrots out, placed them in a bowl. She pulled the eggs out and put them in a bowl. And then she ladled the coffee out and placed it in a bowl. Turning to her daughter, she said, all right, tell me, what do you see? And so she looked at the first bowl and there was carrots. She said, well, I see carrots. I see eggs and I see coffee. She said, oh, look at that. You're smart. And so she said, well, I want you to look at them a little closer. She asked her to fill the carrots. Well, that's kind of nasty, isn't it? So she grabbed the carrots. Well, they had been boiling for 20 minutes. And guess what? They were kind of mushy. All right. Kind of nasty. And then she then asked her to take an egg and she broke it. And we know what was inside the egg. It was hard boiled. Finally, she asked her to look at the coffee. And the coffee, she picked it up and there was a good aroma for those that like coffee. I just got a batch from Switzerland. Oh, just wrote a thank you note. A good batch of Swiss coffee. All right, and so there, that aroma was there. And she smiled and she thought, wow, this is unique. And so she looked at her mom and she said, all right, I see carrots and eggs and coffee. Thanks. Now I feel so much better. And she goes, what does this mean? Well, her mom stopped her and said, now I want you to think about this for a minute. She said, you just told me about all the problems that you're facing and how you just can't seem to get through them. Let's think about this illustration. See, there was carrots, and there was eggs, and there was coffee. All of them were put under the same condition, the same adversity, fire. So the carrots, they went in hard and came out mushy. The egg went in with a hard shell and a soft inside and came out hard boiled. But she said the coffee, notice what the coffee did. The coffee changed the water. It was the only one that took the adversity and changed it. And she talked to the daughter then and said, you know what? We need to work on that in our life, don't we? Because sometimes, you know what? We have adversity coming. All of us are going to have problems. You're going to face some things that are very hard. It could be financial problems. It could be physical problems. It could be that this week you go and the doctor calls you and it's a trial coming and it's heading your way. But practical faith doesn't just let go and quit. Practical faith doesn't just say, oh man, I can't believe God did that to me. And inside you get a hard heart. And then you turn to God and say, I just can't believe God did that to me. Practical faith is that which keeps us going. And in our life, we need to look at the adversity and look at some of the problems that come into our life and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? Because practical faith is what keeps us going. I'm going to look at just a couple of things this morning, three simple thoughts. This morning, the first point is found in verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now, Paul, I think we could see that Paul was talking about a ministry that he was called to. But remember, he's talking to the Corinthians. He's writing this to the church of Corinth. And they're reading it. And as they are reading it, they're thinking about their own lives. And he's saying, hey, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. And so what he's telling them is that they have a call. And because I have a call to do something, I can't quit. Because I have a call to do something, I can't just give up. And this morning, I want you to think about what has God called you to do? What has God asked you to do? Some of you, He's asked you and He's called you to be a dad. He's called you to be a mom. He's called you to have a family. Then why are you quitting on it? God has called you to do it. God has asked you to be that father, the head of the home. Then why are you quitting? Practical faith keeps us going. And one way that it keeps me going is when I realize that the call is from God. And so then when I'm working with my family, and sometimes it seems like it's hard, and sometimes it seems like it's not working, I need to go to God. I need to go to His Word. I need to claim His promises and say, God, I'm going to keep at it, and I will not quit. Why? Because you called me to do this. And I may not be seeing the results that I think I should have, but God, I know that you called me to do this, and I'm not quitting. You see, in the area of our family, sometimes we quit. Why? Because you don't see that God called you to do it. But see, it could be the same way in your church, can it? God calls you to the church. I know recently, we were thinking about this, you know, and it seemed like everybody was in depression in December and January. There was just this deep cloud, this heavy cloud that was just resting upon people all over. And they're saying, you know what, hey, I'm going to get my passports and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that because, you know what, I'm going to find some place maybe in Tasmania and move there and I'm going to live in a hut. And me and my family will survive. And I remember one time going home, and I've been praying about it and thinking about it, and everybody's in depression. And I remember looking at my wife, and I said, you know, I'm called here. That's where I'm called. I'm called right here. That's where I'm supposed to be. So then maybe they're going to leave, but I'm called right here. And so until God, and God may someday say, you know what, now pack up and go. But right now I know I'm to be here. This is my church. And so you know what, it can get as tough as it wants to be. But I'm right here. Now why? Because God called me to this church. He said, this is your church. And you stay here. And you know what, that's the way you should be with your church. Is this your church? Then you know what? If it gets tough, then why quit? Did God not know the problems that were coming into your life? Did God not know that there would be struggles? No, He knew it. And adversity shows up what we are sometimes, doesn't it? It shows us up as men sometimes to be little sissies. Little sissies. Problems. Right? It's like we're a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, and God's putting some pressure on us, and He's trying to strengthen us a little bit. Well, when we have practical faith, and that's faith that keeps us going, what can keep me going? Well, my call. What is my call? Well, I have a call to my family. God said, here's your family. I want you to raise them. I want you to rear those children for God. He also places me at a church, and God calls me to a place just like He'll call you to a church. He'll call you. And most of you sitting here have said, this is my church. Then why are you quitting on it? Why are you quitting on it? When God asks you to do something hard, when somebody comes and says, hey, this is wrong, and you bristle up, you're quitting on it. Why? Because your faith is weak. When God calls you to something, it makes you not want to quit. Practical faith. You see, there's a couple of things in our practical faith. You see, if God calls me to my family, then I'm not going to quit. God calls me to my church, I'm not going to quit. If God calls me to a certain job, and I'm not saying that you can't move from place to place, but some of you, I've talked to you, and you know God led you to the job you're at. If God led you to that job, why are you dissatisfied? Why do you keep looking everywhere else? If God called you to that place, if God has given you some house or God has given you certain provisions, why are you so covetous? Why can't you be satisfied with what God gives you? You see, practical faith means that I can keep going. Why? Because God called me. God called me to my home. God called me to my church. God called me to my work. You see, God calls us. What about even in your marriage? Uh-oh. Oh. There's a bunch of you. I've talked to you. God led you together. And sometimes, you can have the sweetest memory. The only one that is basically charismatic and Pentecostal is Tom. So don't ask him about his testimony because he had a great vision. I almost think it was Mormon or something like that because him and Joseph Smith both had visions. And so I'm still wondering. So Holly, that could be terms for annulment. But most of us, right, in the practical sense, we prayed and God led us to our mate. But then sometimes times get tough. All right, when two people come together, guess what you're going to have? All right, I do not understand when somebody gets up and says, we've been married for 50 years, especially if it's a preacher. All right, we've been married for 50 years and there's never been a conflict. Now, I'm just thinking, all right, I guess he kowtowed to everything. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thought. I'm like, wow, I don't know how in the world that ever happened. I mean, do you guys live in two separate worlds? All right, and so she goes to her house and you go to yours and every once in a while you call each other? Because guess what? When two people are together, you're going to have some conflict sometime. But when there's a little bit of conflict, you say, that's it! No, practical faith. What's practical faith? God called my wife and I together. So when it gets a little tough, guess what? God called us. And so then I go to God. And we have to go to God, and God will give us the answer. Practical faith says, I will keep going. Why? Because God called me to some things. And God's called you maybe to a ministry. And then that ministry gets a little hard. Well, I better be looking somewhere else. All right, that's what some pastors do that, and there's some church members that do that. You know what? When it gets a little tough in the church, all of a sudden, they're church shopping. Well, all of a sudden, it's a little hard in the ministry. It just seems like people just aren't flocking to church, or people aren't flocking to your ministry. And so, well, you know what? I think God is calling me to somewhere else. No, you know what you need to do? You need to dig in. You need to dig in and say, you know what? God's called me to do this, and I'm going to work at it. And what you'll find is when you dig in and start working at it, that is practical faith. And God meets you. God meets you. One man wrote a poem called Don't Quit. He said, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when your care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow, you might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tent to the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. We quit sometimes because we don't understand the call. But secondly, in our passage, let's go down to verse 10. Go down to verse 10 in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We see that the call will help us not to quit. We see that God has called us to do some things. And practical faith says, God's called me to do it. I'm not quitting. In verse 10, here Paul is describing some things that happened to him. He said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Now notice what he said, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to what? To the glory of God. All right, what is the Bible saying here? What is Paul saying? He's saying, not only is there a call in verse 1, there's a call, and so when I understand the call of God on me to do certain things, whether it's my family and my church and my ministries, my work that he has given me, I'm not going to quit. But then also, here Paul says, when you understand the cause for which you're working, here he says, we are working for you, that God be glorified in you. And he says in here, therefore I speak, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, verse 15, that the abundant grace might through this thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. This is what he's saying. It sounds pretty deep there, but all he is saying is that I want my life to bring glory to God. And that's the cause that we should have in our life. And it'll help us not to quit. When I say, you know what, if God wants this trial to come on me, then so be it. And I will not quit. Because he wants to get glory through my life somehow. It's not about me getting glory. It's not about us being lifted up. It's about Christ being lifted up. And in our life, we need that cause. How many of us have been through a trial and we've maybe quit and then God doesn't get the glory? Or maybe God has called you to do something with your family and you quit on them. Guess what? God doesn't get the glory then. What about in our church? If we quit on our church or we quit on our ministries, is there somebody out there that God wants to use, maybe a trial in your life or maybe some adversity in your life, to help somebody else see Christ? Maybe that's the cause. The cause is for you to go and be able to stand at somebody's door and they're going through a hard time. And you're be able to say, you know what, I've been there. And I can lead you to Jesus Christ because He knows what you're going through. And I can't be there for you, but Jesus Christ can be there for you. And here, you're able to take somebody and show them Jesus Christ. Because you see, you understand there's a cause, and the cause is that Jesus Christ gets the glory through everything. And in our church, God wants to get glory. It's not about some numbers. It's not about how many people did you get saved? Well, actually, nobody. Because God does. The Holy Spirit leads them. And in our life, when we're going to have practical faith, sometimes it seems like we want to quit. We want to give up. Remember the cause. And what's the cause? My life needs to bring glory to God. Your life needs to bring glory to God. My family needs to bring glory to God. Our church needs to bring glory to God. And when we remember that and the cause there, it helps us not to quit when things get hard. And sometimes it will. Sometimes you're going to have a hard time. I remember I was talking to a guy this week. And he was saying every day of the week, it just seemed to not stop. And I started smiling. I started smiling as he was talking about it because I just told somebody that I think Thursday or Friday. Every day it was something. And you know what? All of us have been there. And I can remember Friday afternoon, all of us have been at some point and you just say, you know what? I'm through with this. But you go home or you get away. And God starts working on your heart. I can remember about 15 years ago. I think it was 15 years ago. I can remember a preacher walking into my office. And he told me about just a good friend. A good friend that had either gone into sin. I can't remember all the details, but he had gone into sin and he was quitting. And I remember a preacher walking out and I had to leave. I remember walking out the back doors and just started walking around the lake. Because I was like, God, what are you doing? This is depressing. Why are they quitting? But you know what? As I walked around the lake, God was there. And God encourages you when you're down. And He comes alongside and he wants to be there. And He wants to remind you that there is a cause. And the cause is, don't quit and give up and bring glory. God wants glory. God wants glory. So don't you quit. And that's what God said. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. Don't you quit. Don't give up. Because I want to bring glory to myself. That's what Jesus wants to do. That's what God wants. I want to bring glory to myself. I don't want you to be lifted up. I don't want the church to be lifted up. I want myself to be lifted up. You see, there's a cause. And the cause is not me. Who cares what people think about me? Who cares what people say? I can remember telling my kids this. Because there are some families, you know what? And they'll say it. They're like, you know what? You got the Dameron name. And you don't lower that name. I remember telling my kids, the Dameron name means nothing. Means nothing. There's nothing special about our name. There's only something special about our Savior. And if they don't like our name, and if they put it down, then so be it. But don't let them take our Savior's name down. Because that's what's most important. Because that's what John the Baptist said. He must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist wasn't really well liked in the palace. But guess what? God got lifted up through John the Baptist. You see, we have a cause. And then the last point is found in the passage here. Look at verse 7. And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. And look at, and not of us. But then Paul starts talking about himself. So it looks like Paul knows about trouble, because he said, we are troubled. How? On every side. Guess what, though? Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know what? When we want to quit, practical faith, how can I keep going? Well, I remember my call. I remember there's a cause, and that is I want to bring glory to God. But then I think Paul is telling us that there's some companionship. I'm not alone in my trouble. If I have Jesus Christ, I'm not alone. He's there to be with me. He's there alongside. And you know what? Sometimes in those darkest hours, when you think you're all alone, guess what? God is there. And He's the only one. Nobody else. That close friend, they're not there. Maybe that relative, they're not there. But God is there with you. And you can feel His presence because there's a companionship. Because Jesus Christ does know what it's like to be alone. Because He stood alone, didn't He? He stood alone before His accusers. Everybody else forsook Him. And then not only that, then when they hung Him on the old rugged cross, He was very alone. He thirsted. He wanted God to be close to Him because the weight of sin was upon Him. And then He was so alone that even His Father forsook Him. How do we know that? Because He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Now He says, you'll never have to experience that. That's what Jesus said to us. Because He said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake you. He said, I know what that feels like, but you will never have to experience that. And so when I want to quit, I shouldn't just run to some friend. Or maybe turn on the radio, and maybe I can get some good advice from the radio. Or maybe I can get a motivational speaker. A personal motivational speaker to come in to my living room. And he can stand there like, you know what? You just got to do it, buddy. Yes. Yeah. You. Suck it up, buddy. Yes. Give me more. You know what? I don't need a motivational speaker. You know what I need? I need Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will come alongside. And sometimes it's not some really loud preaching. Sometimes it's like in the Old Testament, a still small voice. And I know that God is there. I read a story about a man named Ken that lived in Pittsburgh, which can get you depressed right there. But this was many years ago that he lived in Pittsburgh. And he says that the house he lived in was on one of the Pittsburgh hills. And it was three stories high in the front and four in the back. He said the bottom of the house was a cellar, and at the top was what we called the third floor, and it was really a finished attic. The ceiling was cut into shadowed like dormer windows. Up at the top on that third floor were two bedrooms and a hallway and a mysterious storage room for trunks that always smelled of mothballs. He said our family slept up there on the third floor because the second floor they would rent out so that they could make the payments on the house. Ken remembers that he was the youngest, and he remembers he had to go to bed first. And so he would have to walk up all the way to the top. And he said it felt like every step was just so scary. He said because after the second floor, on the third floor, they had no electricity. So they had to turn on a gas light. And then they'd have to turn it off once he was settled in bed. He said that bed in that room on the third floor seemed to be at the end of the earth. He said it just seemed like there was no humans around. He said there was always unexplained noises. And like really dark, dark secrets that seemed to be in the walls as a young kid. At his urging, his father would try to stop the windows from rattling. He said he would wedge wooden matchsticks into the cracks of the windows. But he said it always seemed to rattle. Sometimes he said his dad would read him a story. But inevitably, the time would come when he would turn out the light, shut the door, and he would hear his steps on the stairs going down farther and farther away. And then he would be left with his own wicked head and the noises. Once, this Ken says, he remembers his father came up and he was almost finished. And his father stopped and said, "Would you rather I leave the light on and go downstairs or turn the light out and stay with you for a while?" Ken says this. He said, "I chose presence with darkness over absence with light." And you know what? In our life, that's what I think. Sometimes we just say, you know, "I can't see. If I could only see." You know, sometimes it's going to stay dark. But God says, "I'll always be there with you." And I'd rather have maybe the darkness, but I have God's presence with me. And God in our life wants us to have practical faith. And what is practical faith? It's faith that keeps me going. It's faith that even when it seems impossible, I'm going to not quit. Why? Because God called me to do some things. And why? Because there's a cause. God wants to bring glory to His church and through all kinds of things through me. But also He says you can have companionship. You can have God with you through the tough times. And that will strengthen your faith. It'll give us that faith that we should have. Let's look again at the end of the passage, chapter 4. Look at verse 16 again. "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed," how? "Day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen." What is that? That's faith. "But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I close with a story of, I think many of us will know, of the man Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, in the midst of World War II, was asked to bring a commencement speech at Oxford University. Churchill came, and he was dressed in his finest suit. He arrived at the auditorium where the service was to be held, and he had his usual props. If you know anything about Churchill, Winston Churchill, he had a cigar, he had a cane, and he had his top hat. As Churchill approached the podium, the crowd rose, and there was just an unbelievable applause, a loud applause. Standing there, looking very dignified, he settled the crowd down and asked them to be seated. Standing confidently before this crowd of admirers, he removed his cigar and placed it down on the podium. Then he took off his top hat and put it on the other side. Churchill gazed at his waiting audience that included some of the most noted scholars of the world. And then, with an authoritative voice, he stood there and looked out and he said, "Never give up." Several seconds passed. He was just staring at the crowd, scanning it. And then he stood up, stood there again, and he said, "Never give up." There was a silence like now. He grabbed his hat, his cigar, and walked away. That was his commencement speech. That was it. Three words. Never give up. But you know what? It says a lot, doesn't it? Because many here, your faith has already done that. It's given up. You're questioning God. You're questioning all kinds of different things. But you're not going to God and asking Him, "Why are you sending this?" I don't think it's wrong to ask Him, because I think He'll give you the answer if you get with Him. You can go to God, and God then will give you the strength to have the practical faith to never give up. Because Paul says, we faint not. We need to ask God to give us practical faith, and that is faith that keeps going. When we don't really understand the darkness that is around us, we don't quit. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. God may have dealt with your heart in the area of having faith. We didn't necessarily speak about saving faith this morning. But it could be that someone here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We didn't really talk about salvation as far as saving faith. But saving faith is that which gets us to heaven. And this morning, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, during the invitation, you can come down and there'll be some men down here that can lead you to somebody that could tell you about how to have saving faith. But the message was geared to those of you that are saved and you are faltering in your walk. You are ready to just give up. And God was dealing with your heart and saying, you can't just quit. You've got to have a practical faith. And God tugged at your heart, then you need to come to the altar and you need to take care of it. Heavenly Father, we would ask.